Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
Please. Social podcast. Podcast. Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. It is a solo episode, so please just deal with it, accept it, move on, yada yada. It's been a minute since I posted an episode. I've recorded several since the Lana Turner one, but I think once I hit 100, a part of me was like, how far do I want to keep going with these? Do I want to continue with it? If so, am I going to play with the format, or am I just going to go about it as is? So for now, I'm going about it as is. But it's taking a little bit more motivation to just kind of get the ball rolling on posting the new ones. I played back the one that's supposed to be episode 101. Wasn't quite happy with it, so this is me doing it again. So if it's a little later, I apologize. But you know what? Thank you so much for checking it out. I got a lot of love on episode 100 with Lana Turner. Please go check it out if you haven't. To the new listeners who came in with that crowd, enjoy. Hopefully I provide enough insight or at least entertainment to where you don't completely get turned away. I'm feeling really terrible right now. I'm sweating bullets. I'm feeling a little under the weather, but I also turned off the AC because it's been on all day. And also I had a really bad eating habit the last 2 days. Like I did 2 shows last night, one the night before, and whenever I have a drink, I tend to eat worse than I typically would, and I've been doing really good. But I think that's also the other side of it, is that because I've been doing portion control, eating healthier, having things like salads, what the crap is that? You know, like healthier foods, not even necessarily saying salad, just controlling the amount of stuff, not having a burger so often, having more protein, chicken, things like that, things that aren't too, less bread, you know, that kind of stuff, where it's like an adjustment, not really a diet. But I've been doing stuff like that, and in addition to that, hitting the gym, successfully dropped 12 pounds so far. And I don't know, it could be because I posted it on social media, but the moment I put it out there, I immediately felt like everything had been undone. I've still continued with the working out, but I you know, when you work a lot, not necessarily working out, but you could apply it to that. But when you do something enough and you don't give your body or your mind a break, eventually it's going to want to take a break. And then that's when it gets dangerous, because you just stop what you're doing. You stop progressing. You get very comfortable in the downtime. And then you have to start over again. I'm trying to make sure that I don't do that, that I push past that wall that's being built up right now, that is preventing me from doing more. But it's also because I put it out there in a way. And I'm not saying that people should notice that I've lost weight, because they shouldn't. I put on so much weight this year that me losing 12 pounds is me breaking even from where I started at the start of the year. So I'm just now getting to that point to where it's like, okay, you're pretty much where you were, you know, after the holidays, when you had put on the holiday weight. So it is a bit of a thing where people can't tell that I've lost weight. And I took not offense to it. I don't really care if people notice it. It's more about how I feel myself. But I started, you know, people were kind of having a hesitant response to it, like, okay, sure. And it didn't necessarily diminish my motivation. Maybe a little bit. Maybe it took a little bit of the energy out of me. Just being like, oh, this is still a long way to go. And it's not even like because it's like, oh, you don't believe in me, I quit kind of deal. And it's more along the lines of like, oh, all this effort I put into it, and it's still not quite where I want it to be. And I need to embrace that. I need to accept the fact that right now I am still pushing myself to a level I have to get to. I'm not there yet. And when you tell yourself that you're already there, that's when you discover that you still have a long way to go. And I think that's where people get that body dysmorphia thing and these insecurities. They either think that they're never going to get there, or that they're already there and they're unhappy with the results. And it's like, it's all obviously psychological, but I was feeling that a bit. I had, you know, mac and cheese and really greasy breakfast sandwiches and pizza and all this shit in a very short period of time. I think it's mostly been the week itself that's been like that. Like I had soda more than once and I was like, all right, I might limit myself to a Coke bottle a week, you know, just so I don't completely, it's almost like I'm trying to trick myself into saying you're not really eating healthy yet because you're still having this thing or that thing. But it's all sort of coming back to where it was before. And that's something I definitely have to work on. Last weekend, it was supposed to be kind of just a productive weekend. It was supposed to be cleaning around the apartment, hitting the gym, getting errands done. And it went from being that to being this thing where it turned into an unplanned, date's the wrong word because there was four of us, but we, you know, like a trip to the Hollywood Bowl watching John Williams perform live for his 40th anniversary with the Hollywood Bowl, which is fucking incredible. Oh my God. They like every people in the audience, when they started playing the theme to Star Wars, they were selling these like very sort of standard lightsaber things to, they looked like lightsabers, but they also looked like they could land planes or direct traffic. Like it wasn't 100% a lightsaber. But when you'd look around and everybody's busting them out during the music, that was a fucking experience. So last Saturday was a weigh-in. I saw that I lost 12 pounds. Very proud of it. Went to go to Cheesecake Factory. Kind of like I've been a good boy. Let's go ahead and just have a one unhealthy meal, but something you've spent a little money on. So I had a mac and cheeseburger and some fries. Then went to the movies, and then I was supposed to go to the gym, and then I didn't go to the gym because instead I went to the bowl and had some pizza there and then a hot dog. Then on Sunday, again, another lazy day turned into going to the LA County Fair, which I'd never done before, and I got to tell you, they don't have healthy food there. You know, I had a waffle cone that was filled with chicken and mac and cheese, something else that was breaded with, Fruity Pebbles. And it just escalated from there. Monday was kind of just punishing myself for how, like, I weighed in and then I did all this terrible shit. And I want to make sure that I at least end the week not having put on some weight. And so every time I try to tell myself, all right, today's the day I'm going to do the right thing, I don't. Today was definitely also not that day. So I'm a little worried about checking the scale tomorrow. It's okay if I step back by a pound or two, but I really hope I didn't go all the way back up. I'm sure I didn't put on 12 pounds in a few days. But again, I went to the LA County Fair. It is brutal out there. It is not a place you go when you want to stay in shape, with the exception of all the walking around. So I'm hoping that made up for some of it. But no, it's been good. I did want to talk a little bit about, I know I mentioned Disneyland a bit. I have the year pass. I am using it to the fullest. Try to make days out of it, like bring out friends and family and do all that. I go a lot with Linda. I try to go with a previous guest, Martin Rizzo, but it's always a complicated thing to try to make that happen. Finally took my nephews. My nephews are, how could I put this? They're great kids, but they're exhausting. I love them. They're fun. Good kids. Smart kids. Kind kids. That's one thing I love about it is I have, you know, I've seen a lot of kids, especially when I was around that age, who were so ready to be adults, who were so ready to be troublemakers and partying and like, I can do whatever I want. I mean, I was 14 years old, and I was hanging out with this girl that I had a crush on and her then boyfriend and his younger brother. Very complicated situation. It's middle school drama all over again. But this kid was 12 years old getting high with his aunt. And some other kid who was like 10 that looked like he was 15, which to me seemed like an adult at the time. And watching these kids try so hard to be grownups, in a sense, was very confusing to me because I was still talking about the most recent episode of Pokemon. Like, I wasn't that kid. I wasn't the kid ready to grow up. And so one of my nephews, he is on the spectrum. He's autistic. I'm on the spectrum. So we are kindred spirits. He and I both grew up the same way, very young at heart. You know, 12 years old wasn't really 12 years old for us. you know, dealing with a home where it's the parents aren't together, but also a lot of the same anxieties, fears. I allowed as a kid the fear to kind of take over and prevent me from being able to do a lot of things. And it would show, like when I'd go to Disneyland, I would freak out at rides. My sister was terrified of me taking my nephew because he was very anxious and he gets really high anxiety in such a public space. But because he and I are so similar to one another, it seemed like a good idea to give it a chance and to take him and have a great time with that. It definitely was. He enjoyed himself. It took a moment. He was terrified of the first ride that we're getting on, which is my personal favorite, which is Star Tours. You know, it's all the setup, all the buildup, and you have to break it down for him. You have to tell him exactly what's happening, you know, whether or not it's a roller coaster, how things work, the hydraulics, the kind of storyline, the things, if things move, shake, if it actually takes off somewhere. And he didn't want to put on his 3D glasses out of the fear that it was going to be too scary. And he didn't want to be a part of that whole experience. Then the ride started. And everyone was having fun with it. And for a moment, he put on the 3D glasses. He took them off when he freaked out again. But for a moment, he was a part of it. He embraced it. He was there with us. He was part of the event, the experience. And then he was kind of bouncing back and forth between being scared and removing it and then being brave and putting them back on. By the time the ride ended, he was okay with it. He was like, fine, this is okay. Did a couple of other little things, nothing major. We had to modify. When adults go, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to be too worried. Unless somebody's scared of a ride, you pretty much can have access to all the rides if time and lines permit. But we had to do a lot of modifications for the sake of taking kids with us. My other nephew was a little braver with some of the stuff he wanted to do, but it doesn't diminish one kid or over the other by any means if one is more anxious to get on certain rides. Now, that same nephew, when we got on Star Tours again, he actually encouraged it. He was excited about it. Then the second time around, he was able to look at the scene through different eyes, you know, because it allowed, he was aware of what was going to happen, you know, and that is a process that I think we all have to figure out, is that it's really sort of hard when you're doing something for the first time. It's confusing, it's scary as hell, and you know, once you figure it out, then that's when you're able to really sort of enjoy it. So if you ever do something and you had a tough time with it the first time, do it again the second time. Now that you know what to expect, at least now you can kind of just be part of the moment. And that's what he did, and that was fucking incredible. But I also wanted to introduce him to something, because every time he would get his adrenaline up and start kind of getting nervous, I had to introduce a new concept to him. I'm not going to parent anybody. I'm not a parent, so I don't like those people who are like, here, let me tell you how to raise your kid, when I know nothing about raising kids. I can only tell you about how I was as a kid, the lessons I learned, and the things that I try to pass on. So this isn't really a parental thing. This is just sort of a life thing. You have to teach yourself or your kids new terms. You know, happy, sad, scared, mad are great. But, you know, if you want to expand it a little bit, you don't even need to go that far. I had to teach my nephew a new word. I said, when your adrenaline goes up, like when you're scared, you think you're scared because your adrenaline goes up, it's hard for you to focus, and that adrenaline is something you need to embrace. If you control it, that's what athletes use when they work out, when they fight to get into that mode. It's what a person uses when their body gets tightened and gets stronger. If you ever notice, I didn't go quite this deep into it with my nephew, but I really sort of gave him a very basic education on what the word excitement means. You can be excited. It's the exact same kind of response, but you're going with it. You are looking forward to it. There's some enthusiasm that comes along with it that is parallel to fear, but even fear can be kind of an embrace thing. That's why people go to horror movies. They like to get startled or scared. They like doing that. And when you do that, you sort of desensitize yourself to a lot of experiences. Because I'm not saying that you're going to be much braver than a person who doesn't watch the films, but you are, in essence, programming yourself to be able to handle more, or at least, you know, in controlled environments. And that's one thing I really tried to put in his mind, which allowed him to enjoy some of the rides. Now, I did misplace my nephew for a few. That is a real thing that happened. went, I took him to the restroom, and then I went in as well. I went into one stall, he went into the other. He got out right before I did. I was talking to him as I was coming out, and I told him, stay in the bathroom. He did not. I was washing my hands as I was telling him, you know, just wait right there, and I turned around and he's gone. And so even though I only lost for about a minute, and it's not the same kind of losing someone as it was when we were young, because he had a phone on him, a quick phone call, and he was there. So I never technically lost him, but God damn it, was I terrified of that. I was so terrified. I was like, oh my God, this kid, I have two kids with me, or I started with two kids. I'm going to have to end the day with either just no kids or two kids. Only options. Only options I have. And I found him right away, so the fear had subsided at that point. But at the same time, I was like, kid, you scared the hell out of me. And he seemed sort of scared of getting in trouble more so than he was about getting lost. So his anxiety was so distracted by the fact that he was concerned about my response to it that he didn't even have a time to respond to his environment the way that he was worried he would. So just wanted to put that out there. You can be in more control in your environment than you think. And I know I'm not the person to really talk about it. I wear my sunglasses often because I feel more comfortable in them. I have my headphones on me at all times because sometimes I will be in a place and putting on my headphones kind of gets me out of that mindset that I think I have a tough time in being in. You know, that is a real thing that I deal with from time to time. So I tried to sort of teach him that kind of thing as well, as have something with him. Although he's learning on that. He did the same thing I did when I was 12. I had like a toy with me that I would keep. And the only reason I don't have that toy now anymore is because somebody stole it. But if it wasn't for that, I would still be hanging out with my gizmo from the movie Gremlins doll. That was like a little posable plastic doll that I loved. I actually bought one years later on eBay that I still have, but I don't have the same emotional attachment to it because clearly it's not the same thing. But it is a nice little reminder that I appreciate. So the nostalgia maybe, or just the fact that it does sort of reminisce or recreate that like, oh, this is comfortable kind of deal. But I lost my nephew. I'm not proud of that. What did I want to talk about next? This is something I had noted. Hold on. I'm filming this while on my phone while I talk because I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing something I hadn't done before. I'm going to stop the taping just so I can grab my notes. There is one other thing I wanted to talk about that kind of amused me that was brought up today. So I went to the gym. And it wasn't there for very long, but while I was there, I was leaving and there was this helicopter hovering around in circles. I felt like it was, you know, there was a story about the guy who stole a plane and then he crashed and he died. There's another one, a guy who crashed a plane, I think, into his own home because he was mad at his wife or something. And then I saw this helicopter today going bananas, going like flying really low. It didn't look like a police helicopter, which, by the way, spoiler alert, it fucking was. And I'm filming it like an asshole, like, oh my God, I got to document this moment. I don't know what's happening. People are just walking by me like, what are you doing? They just moved on. They dismissed it. And I was filming it being like, this is something. I feel like this is something. It ended up being nothing, but it was still kind of weird how it was going about. And I was so swept up in it that I had my car parked kind of blocking traffic a little bit. And I felt like an asshole. I was like, what am I doing? But that did remind me of something that is going on in my... So years ago, this is an awkward story. I try to do those from time to time. I'm going to an open mic. And at the mic, it's in downtown Pasadena, but I had exited the freeway early. I wasn't paying attention to my GPS. And I ended up going over this bridge. This bridge is beautiful. It's very sort of old school kind of, I'm pretty sure they showed it in that movie La La Land, where it's just like, why is that random little bridge? It's like one lane both ways for the cars. And it has a bunch of little classic looking lights going across it. So it's well illuminated. And I had not been through this part of town. And as I'm driving, trying to look at the GPS, trying to find out where I go, I slam on the brakes because there is a body in the middle of the road. A body, a person, laying there lifeless. And I freak the fuck out. And this car, car stops in the other direction. And I get out of the car and I'm like, holy shit. And this elderly couple's like, we came around because we saw it going the other way. And we came back around to check on it. And at that point, I was already calling the cops. And I said, well, don't worry about it. I'm already calling the cops. They said, okay, great. Thank you. And they took off. As I'm talking to the cops about this, I'm letting them know. It went down something like, yeah, hi, I'm over here in downtown Pasadena. Right just before the bridge, there was this body laying there on the floor. And the person on the phone's like, did you hit it? Like, oh, did you run the body over by chance? And I said, no, I did not. I was able to stop on time, which, by the way, I was looking at my phone, which don't fucking do, because this taught me a lesson. Like, don't fucking stare at your phone, because you never know when there's going to be a body on the road. You know, I'm sure that's not always going to be a lesson that could be applied, but that is something I learned at that moment. And as I'm talking to them, saying, you know, there's this, we're north of it, and, you know, of the bridge, and this cop car, it was almost like cartoonishly fast how quickly the cop car pulled up. And they said, they were looking at me, and the officer shines the light on me and says, sir, have you been drinking? And I said, no, sir. He's like, did you hit this body? And I said, no, sir, I'm the one that called it in. I just found it right now, and I called in. And then at that moment, the helicopter over me starts shining the light on me, and it's like they're hovering so low that the wind is blowing and my hair is kind of going everywhere. And I'm looking up at this, and I feel like I'm currently in a movie. Like, I felt like this is what it's like when they film a movie of somebody being arrested or some shit. And I'm like, oh my God, if I go to jail right now, I said I was going to be home by 10:30, and now I'm going to go to jail on suspicion of murdering somebody. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. And this was years ago. I was terrified. So the cop gets out of the car, and he kind of starts moving towards me, not like in a defensive way, but clearly in a way where he wasn't 100% on my side. And then by some fucking miracle, the body on the road, the dude just fucking sits up, and he sits up like in a very Charlie Chaplin-y Cantinflas kind of like cartoonish sitting up, like improv actor, like of a rag doll coming to life kind of thing. Like, and he just left the room in Toy Story. That kind of like just sat up with the goofiest look on his face, kind of like the drunk idiots or drunk pirates on Pirates of the Caribbean. Excuse me. And so he sits up and he's super surly. This guy is so drunk. And then he gets up and he kind of dusts himself off. Now, he has his pants look like he did have some damage to it, and apparently a car actually did hit him, but didn't kill him. Like, it just like knocked him on his ass, and no one stuck around to make sure he was okay. But he got up and he kind of just stumbled off, and the cops got in the car and they just started following him. And I'm standing there in front of the car, and the helicopter just takes off, and the second officer is like, you can go now. I was like, oh, okay. Should I be here? Like, did you see what happened? I said, no, I just found the body. It's like, no, you're good. We have your number. We'll call you. So I start to take off, and the guy makes his way down towards the other end of the bridge, and there's a lot of traffic there that I kind of built up from the cops. So by the time I get to the other side, the cops are just sitting there talking to the guy, and they're having an argument. But the argument is like the guy's saying, no, this way is towards this business. And the cop's like, no, sir, it's the other way. And their conversation was so non-confrontational that it was the juxtaposition between that and how it was just a few minutes ago was so cartoonishly different. I was so relieved, but so convinced that I was going to go to jail for murdering somebody. I was like, this is a body that they're going to look at my records, or they're going to look at my car, and then they're going to be like, we noticed this little dent here. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I bumped into a pole at some point. It's not a dent from a body. Like, I was legitimately preparing my own legal defense in my head. Like, how am I going to get out of this sticky situation? That's legitimately how I process that information. See, I did that story right now because it is amusing, but I did it to kind of bring back the material that I wanted to talk about. That's an interesting one. I did write down a note that is, I don't know if it's profound, but it's something, I guess, that I thought when I was drunk. So I said, a person who expects to succeed either hasn't failed enough or isn't prepared enough to fail again. That is something that might be profound. I don't understand the context of why I wrote that, but I really hope that there's something there that you can walk away with, because this episode is over. So let's wrap it up. I have no show. I mean, I have shows coming up, but I don't know what days they're going to be on, and I'm too lazy to edit stuff. So you'll hear it on the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Follow me on stuff at I Am Jose Chavez. That is on Instagram, on Snapchat. You can go ahead and skip Twitter. I'm not good at Twitter. I'm fucking awful at it. Email me if you want to suggest topics or whatever. JoseChavezComedian@gmail.com and awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. All that's the same. To those who tuned in from the Lana Turner episode, this is your first time listening to an episode post-Lana Turner. Some episodes will have guests, some won't. I try to do it at every other one, but it doesn't always play out that way. Please check out previous episodes. They are all available on awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. Everything else is, it's here on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Tell your friends about it. Give me some reviews, because I get a lot of love via email, but I rarely get the reviews on iTunes. In fact, it looks like the reviews are going down, so check it out. Anyhow, my name is Jose Chavez. Doesn't really matter. You guys know who this is. I gotta go. You have yourself a great weekend. Take care, and don't be an asshole.